pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next item on our agenda is a public comment time. And just so everybody knows, the rules are you get 3 minutes if you want to comment. The people in the crowd will get first, and then anybody on Zoom that wants to comment when the crowd is done, or the people in the room, you'll have 3 minutes. There again, I emphasize, this is not a question and answer period. This isn't a debate. It's a time for you to make comments to us. So that's what we have here. And I ask you to keep it just a public meeting, you know, be civil to everybody, you know. And so, we ready?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll start off. Is there anybody in the, Emily. One other thing, just state your name and what city you're from.
Sure, I'm Emily Roberts with Marconi Health District. In April of 2023, the Mar County Commissioners determined that the 2021 ASA plan that had been previously approved was no longer valid and that the county would revert to the 1998 ordinance and plan. The 1998 ordinance and plan spell out a process for updating the ASA plan and selecting service providers, which should heavily involve the existing EMS Advisory Committee. The processes that are currently occurring are not reflective of the 1998 ordinance or ASA plan. Mara County Health District respectfully asked Mara County to follow the processes that are laid out in the 98 ordinance and ASA plan.
Okay, thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir.
Good morning, I'm Jim Collins.
What city are you from?
I live in Heppner, Oregon. I have many concerns and questions about what is going on in Morrill County with our local government and the silence from our government related to what is going on with the new circuit courthouse that is going to be built in Heppner. I am requesting that the county have open public meetings to inform residents of the county about the specifics of this project. I have talked to many citizens in the county about the project, and they all say that the commissioners have assured the people that the citizens would have input and be able to voice their concerns and opinions about the project, and that the commissioners would then take these concerns into consideration before any final decisions would be made. I'm also requesting that the county government inform the residents of Morrill County that the specific budget tracking and allocations that are targeted for this project. I have heard in very few meetings on the project that the building will cost $24 million initially, state and county funding, and that the county is responsible for 50% of the construction costs. I am requesting the budgetary information be made public, informing the taxpayers of all the costs related to the project and where the taxpayer money is coming from for this project, and what the taxpayers are specifically paying for towards this project. I am also including in this letter signatures of 87 Morrill County registered voters that have signed a petition to change the location of the new circuit courthouse next to our Heppner Elementary School to another location. And I have copies of this letter with copies of those signatures to be made part of the public record.
Thank you. Some of the copies for them too, so you may have multiple copies.
Okay,
so
thank you. Who's next? Okay. So, yeah. Yes.
I'm John Kilkenny from Heppner. Thanks for letting the public comment on this again. I had spoken along the same lines and hear again about the new ASA plan. My main, there's a number of concerns I have, but the health district has been providing good service for decades to the county. And in my experience, doing business in this county for 40 or 50 years, I never changed any of my providers that I did business with unless there was a reason to change. And I don't think there's any reason to change based on the great service that the health district has provided to different communities in the county over the last number of years, and certainly recently as they continue to improve. But my main objection, and one of my main objections to this I brought up earlier, is the new language and the new ASA that changes totally what happens to the assets if this deal should go terminated. The old language was the health district, the Morrow County Health District, retains those assets if this is to be terminated. $1.5 million of assets are retained by the Morrow County Health District. The new language says that those assets are to be seized by Morrow County. That's not the health district. That's Morrow County. And then those assets can be seized by Morrow County, and they determine maybe the value of those. They can be given to another entity, and then the health district is compensated, maybe to be discussed later, yet to be determined. That's just totally unacceptable language. No business, no ranch, no other public entity would enter into a contract with anyone in which their assets are seized. I see Community Counseling Solutions is here, or Community Counseling is here, and they have an agreement with the county. I'm sure that I could speak on their behalf that they wouldn't enter into a relationship with the county in which Community Counseling Solutions assets were seized by the county to be given to another entity. A fire district that's provided services to an area in the county would never enter into an agreement into which their assets could be seized by the county and given to another entity. So if you wanted to respond to a fire at the port,
30 seconds.
I got it, at the port, or if you want to respond to a fire at the bombing range, if the port or the bombing range were totally in agreement with how the services were provided, they could seize your fire trucks and give them to another entity. No one's going to agree with that, so please remove that from the language. Please don't say that the language hasn't changed, because it's changed significantly. So that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Okay, who's next? Anybody else want to comment?
My name is Stuart Dick from Darien, Oregon. I've spoken before this board multiple times in the last year. Nobody in this room or this county wants to go through another recall. It was a horrible experience. Scars as well. Probably never get over it. It was done behind closed doors. It was orchestrated. But we come to you and share the concerns we have over multiple issues, and you don't listen to us. And you just do whatever you've decided to do. I've watched this the whole year. You never respond to anything we ask you about, whether it's the county ASA, whether it's the concerns about the courthouse, whether it's concerns about funding. You've already got a preconceived agenda. So I'm going to be upfront with you. We're going to initiate a recall. It's going to be open. You're going to be invited to come. You'll get 3 minutes like everybody else. It'll be transparent. It'll be in every community. This community, this county, is going to get an opportunity. Our republic, the people, rule. You work for us. We're not happy with what you're doing. Matt, you send that ASA to the state that you knew was going to shut down, and then you call it a miscommunication. It's not a miscommunication, it's deliberate. We're not we're not stupid. We're not happy with what you're doing. And you're forcing us to go through another recall. I can't tell you the heartache this is going to cause us all. I can't understand why you won't work with us. Why won't you work with the citizens of Abner? They told you they don't want this courthouse where you're building it. Why won't you work with them? It makes no sense. Why won't you work with the county, the Moore County Health District? It's been working for 25 years. It's saving lives. If there's issues, work with us. But you won't. You've got a preconceived agenda, and you're going to go right on and do what you want to do. You're going to force us to do. And we're not happy about...
30 seconds.
I'm done.
It's all right.
Anybody else? In the room? No? Okay. If you're online on Zoom and you want to comment, just raise your hand. Do your hand signal there. Anybody on Zoom? Okay, I don't see anybody. Are you, Matt?
No, usually they pop up to the front.
Okay. Then we'll close off the public comment section and we'll move to open agenda. Do the commissioners have anything they want to change on the agenda? Or?
Nothing.
Okay. Right. Okay, I'd like to, at this time, move 7A and B up to right after we get done with the consent agenda, if that's all right with you guys.
Yeah, works for me.
Okay. All right, the next item will be our consent agenda. Does anybody want to, either of you want to pull anything out of there for discussion?
I have nothing amended.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve it.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we'll go to 7A and 7B, County Administrator Reports.
Okay. Appreciate this opportunity. We planned on doing this a little bit later, but because of the continued public comment, we wanted to make sure it takes care of before people filter out. Just resharing the ambulance area plan update that we shared 2 weeks ago with the commission, just to reiterate a few things and give some additional updates. And if I can advance my screen, that would be nice. Again, one of the reasons why we're changing this with the ASA is because ORS says the county is responsible for administering the ambulance service area plans. In the ASAs that we have in place, even the 1998 one, there is an abdication of control by the county which allowed the Morrow County Health District to more or less administer that program. While this has operated quite well and Morrow County Health District has taken care of business, there comes conflicts when there are providers that want to present and take a look at providing additional services. And there becomes a conflict of interest when your EMS advisory committee, which is in charge of reviewing that, is largely made up of MCHD and other providers' employees. Now, when I gave my presentation back there, I said 8 out of 10. I've sat down with the health district, they pointed out it's 7 out of 9. But that's still an overwhelming majority of the people are MCHD employees. If you look at other ASAs, that is not the case. The ASA or EMS Advisory Committee is generally presented with people that are out of the system or have experience, but that can advise the Board of Commissions on how to take care of the ASA area plans. And that's one of the reasons what we're looking at. So there is oversight, there's third-party management, and we can consider, not guaranteed, that there'll be multiple providers. We've not made any determination, and I hear a lot of verbiage on social media, and I have reiterated with Bourbon Fire Rescue District that there has been no determination for multiple providers. We are clearly looking to create and reestablish the county as in charge of the ASA plans, as well as what we're calling the ASA Advisory Committee now, which is currently the EMS Advisory Committee. That's a difficult thing. Change is hard. I understand that. And, you know, we can pull out stories and stories about MCHD and their exemplary service. But there is an inherent conflict that arises in the administration of the ASA right now. And we're looking to clean that up. Yes, this does provide the opportunity to consider what other providers, but it is not a guarantee. And there's nowhere in the ASA plan that says that. So what we're looking at is what's being done is we're reestablishing the county as the authority over the ASA. We're establishing an independent ASA advisory committee. I haven't updated this screen. To review services and provide recommendations to the Board of Commissioners. And we'll establish three ambulance areas within the county to provide options for multiple ambulance providers. And then we're updating technical requirements. This does not say we are definitely splitting it up into three or two or one. It's saying that the county will have the option to review. And MCHD has already presented what they'd like to do. And we will be considering that. But we have to get the ASA plan taken care of first. Now, we've talked about the historic ones. Currently, that ASA or EMS Advisory Committee is appointed by the Health District. We believe statutorily, we hold that those should be appointed by the Board of Commissioners. And that's generally how it's done across the state, because that's how ORS is set up. We want to make sure that this is setting up a overall performance of the ASAs, not the individual EMT. We'll leave that to the providers. They're the ones who have the expertise. We're looking at the overall performance of ambulance services, the areas they serve, and what's taking place there. We want to reconcile system performance issues, hear and reconcile issues between providers if there are multiple providers. So you have a third party, no inherent conflict, hearing those issues. And we want to be able to consider requests for new providers. Whether it's now or in 5-10 years. Counties went through that with police services, with Boardman. Irrigan's looked into it. And we review and we look at it and we see what will be best for the residents. We're looking to be able to have that flexibility with ambulance providers. And to set things up so we can review this and take care of it on a regular basis. Now, again, the anticipated process. Internal development of review of draft. We had the public hearings last spring. There was a lot of input. A lot of that was taken into consideration. We've also developed the draft. We've received input from MCHD and Boardman since they've expressed interest. And we did send an initial draft to OHA. Now, we've been in contact with OHA. They said, send us the initial draft. We'd like to work through the issues. We realize this is a hot topic issues. We're getting a lot of that. They were fully acceptant of it being a draft and realizing it was not the final verbiage. Now, MCHD and I have continued our dialogue, and we are looking into some of the tweaks that have been brought up. And we're looking forward to, they've sent it back with a few little, OHA has sent it back to us, and we're resubmitting that, and we're going to submit it again to the interested parties, and we're actually going to give them 48 hours to look, review before we send into OHA again. Once we have that feedback from OHA, we'll do some final tweaks, and we will go through a public hearing process, because this is a big issue. And we will allow the public to see the finished product that's been milled over, both from previous public hearings, from input from from interested parties and also from direction from our commissioners as we finalize that and bring it to them. During that public hearings and after that, we will be able to do final tweaks, adopt a certification by the Board of Commissioners, which has not happened. The previous one did not have any certification, so it would not have been in force at all. And then we will have to go to advertising posts for ambulance providers and designation of initial ambulance providers. So those are things that we need to do still. We have not made any kind of pre-assessment on providers. And again, I want to reiterate, I have no idea what Boardman wants to do. They've shown me their ambulances and that, but they have not provided a proposal, and I'm not sure if that will even fit. So we're still open to the consideration. The biggest issue is we need to reestablish that the county, per ORS, is the administrator and controller of the ASA plans. We currently are not. And we need to reestablish that by state code. Looking at initial providers, most of you who are on and here, we're looking at these, and this is something that I'll be bringing to the commission. It's not on the agenda today, but I'll be looking to nail down an answer from them on how we propose those initial providers. The Board of Commission could just do it, and whether it's through, you know, drawing straws, just making an edict from on high, or weighing through different proposals, you could do that. We could try to pull in the new advisory committee, but it would not be complete because you'd have components from providers on that committee, which wouldn't be in place. And then we'd have an ad hoc committee, which would establish a certain group of professionals and industry experts to review and help make some designations.
What about the existing committee?
We had those discussions yesterday, and we haven't reviewed that yet. So part of this thing is we're repealing the previous ASA. That's a legislative act. And so that's why we'll be having public hearings to engage and to take that. And so this is a legislative act by the Board of Commission, and we'll be looking into that. So we'd like to provide it to the current advisory committee, let them see, and we expect them to have input on it. But
to clarify, are you saying you're now repealing the 1998 ASA?
That's part of the consideration, yes. So as we go through this, we did receive the health district's notice of termination. I know that this has caused a lot of heartburn up in Irrigan. We heard issues about, you know, there not being any ambulances or ambulance being pulled out. That is not going to be the case. We already have assurances from different parties, and we're developing a plan that we hope to have in place by mid-February to demonstrate to the residents of the county that ambulance service will continue. And as we do that, we hope to have continuing dialogue with Morrow County Health District about their intent to provide service, as well as to, what kind of direction they'd like to do. We may have to look at new providers and or have interim operations as we continue this process. We realize that change is difficult. But at the same time, we believe that that this is necessary. It might feel painful right now, and there is a certain level of uncertainty, but this is something that needs to be done. And we feel strongly about that, and as staff in that, we're recommending these things to the commission, and they'll be considering this in full in short manner. In preparing for this, and because of the 90-day notice of discontinuance of service, I've been reaching out to several of the communities. I've met with the Irrigan city manager and offered to come and meet with their city council. Last night we met with Boardman city council, and I'm extending offers to come and meet with the city councils down in the south side as well. And so we're looking to get as much information as we can. I know there's a lot of speculation out there on social media.
Just reiterate, there will be no gaps in coverage. We've already got initial talks, and we will have continuing service, whether that's with MCHD or with another provider past March 12th, 2024. As we do that, we're hoping to put our best foot forward, and I understand change is hard, decades under MCHD, but the health district themselves would admit that ambulance service has changed over the last 5 years, and it's become more costly to them. And it would be easy to continue under the ASA and allow them to absorb those costs. That's a huge undertaking. And we want to make sure this is done right, and we consider the level of services for the county, and we understand what the costs and benefits are of any consideration or proposal that comes before us. So we'll be looking for more information. We'll be providing updates on every two-week basis with the commission, and look forward to engaging with the public in the future as we get these things taken care of. Any questions from the commission?
I don't. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Okay. And next would be your report on the circuit court building.
Yes. And this one, understandably, there's been delays. We've been hoping to have the design group up at the 1st of December and to start engagement on that. Part of the issue has been just finalizing the contract with the architect services. It is a large contract. Usually a contract for architecture and a process this big is in between 8% and 10% of the total project, and we've been finalizing that. We just got final contract right after we were submitting items for this agenda, so we anticipate that to be on the next agenda. Once we have that design team in place, the architect and our project managers and staff will start coordinating stakeholder interaction meetings, and that's specifically with the people who will be staffed in that area, the circuit court, other county departments, with the neighbors that will be impacted by the building, as well as other organizations around it, like the rodeo and fair. And so we'll be looking to do that as we get the contract set up. I had hoped that those stakeholder engagement meetings would start January, but realistically we're looking at a February 1st date after we get the contract set up. We do have some preliminary budgeting numbers in there. The architects and the project managers have been going over that. It is high, and we're really pushing the architect to say where are we at. One of the things that is a catch-22 with the pricing is we're looking to do a CMGC, Construction Manager General Contractor approach with this project, where we bring in the general contractor, we set up a price for the project, and they, the architect and project manager, work to make sure the project comes in that level. I hate to say this, sometimes architects kind of get pie-in-the-sky kind of views, and let's make this all really cool, and having the GC, the CMGC, and the project manager to kind of rein them in and help value engineer without losing value in the building is what our hopes are. So in regards to the public comment from Mr. Collins and that, yes, there has been silence as we've been trying to get those contracts together, and we anticipate having that done at the next meeting on the 17th, and then having those stakeholder meetings start to be scheduled in February so we can do some preliminary design. After that time, they will likely bring in the cost estimates, early cost estimates, depending on how things are impacted from that. We've also had the geotechnical survey going on there, the dug test pits. Our survey's done, so we won't have any delays on that and be able to finalize. Once we get the reviews from the geotechnical, that's where we can say if that site is good to build on, and we should have those during the first part of February with the architect coming online and the engineering corps coming online. So there's still a lot of questions. We are per the commission's direction, targeting that location. And we should be able to have final determination on that in a meeting in February. Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, could you tell us the day, there was a town hall held on this, right here in this room, and that was how long ago?
I believe that was in September.
September.
Yes, and so we had talked about at
so
that
four
time.
4 months ago, 5 months ago, we held an open public meeting, we advertised it.
Yes.
We took public comment. And you put on a presentation on this very subject?
Yes.
Okay. Do you got anything planned now that the plans are firming up more? We have an idea of what we got. Do you have any plans to do this, do more of those, or anything like that?
Well, yes. As we go through, these projects are pretty comprehensive, and they're detailed in a lot of items, but we do want to engage with the public on several aspects. First, there'll be the stakeholder interactions. From there, we'll likely...
And define the stakeholder. I think a lot of people don't know exactly what that means.
So stakeholder interactions, there's the outside stakeholders and then the internal stakeholders. The outside stakeholders will be neighbors, different organizations around there that might be impacted by the operations. We'll be talking to the school, the rodeo fairgrounds. We'll have a neighbor's stakeholders interaction where we go and talk with them and get them engaged. And that will be saying, hey, here's what we're planning. Let us know things that we need to take care of, whether that's barriers, sound barriers, visual barriers, those kind of things that should be taken into account on the design. You know, we're looking at a two-story building, you know, and working with neighbors to say, okay, your sight line will be impacted this much or not this much, and just allow them to have input and hope to mediate any concerns that are there. After that, you know, we'll take that information in. We'll likely have an initial design that will come back to the commission, and the question would be if we have one or two designs, if we do have a work session or a public town hall or something like that to allow people to come in and take a look. Then there'll be a lot of preliminary design during the spring, first part of summer. We'd love to have something up in at the fair to be able to engage with people as well, a booth there to allow people to come see and participate in that. And then, of course, before final approval of the design and that, we'll, of course, have a meeting with the commissioners, and whether the commissioners would like to have a public hearing on during that time, that's very appropriate to allow people to chime in on, on the design and approach on the building. Right now, we don't anticipate construction to start until well after the fair, and construction will take place during 2025. After that time, you know, public engagement's pretty minimized. I know on a couple public meeting buildings, there have been non-staff or whatnot people involved in a design steering committee. They did that with this building here. The circuit court's a little different beast. Since the state courts are involved, they pretty much almost have a veto on the internal design and efficiencies of the building. They have very strict and steadfast requirements. And so we'll likely, unless the commission feels very strongly on that, limit outside engagement on the internal design of the building because of the court's requirements and specific recommendations. We will have other public aspects of it, possibly based on cost for the district attorney, juvenile, and other other departments that work closely with the courts that could benefit from an outside idea on the design steering committee, but that would be based on the commission's taste and having someone involved in that.
Okay. Is there any questions? Would you mind if we took a quick recess and then?
It's your meeting, sir.
Okay. I'm going to say something else.
Okay.
I'm going to call a recess and invite the public to come up and ask if you have any further questions. Is that all right?
I would be happy, you know, quite honestly, I'd be happy to go out in the hall. And if people have questions, I'm interested in who becomes the BOC chair, but I'd be happy to take questions out in the hall and through what
I'm
the business
go ahead.
I'm in.
Well, I want you in here during the regular meeting, so okay. We can handle 5 minutes, right? So okay. Give you guys. Okay. I'm going to call 5 minutes. And, there he is. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Hold on, David.
Hang on. Recording in progress.
Change name, unmute.
We don't want to do this.
Good to go. Okay.
Okay. So our next item is a public hearing to approve road name for Bristol Estates Subdivision, accept road dedication, and approve final subdivision plat for Bristol Estates Subdivision. Stephen of the Planning Department will be the staff person. However, we're going to hold the public hearing first, and then we'll take a staff report. I have a statement that I read before all the public hearings, so I'll read that now. And then just so you know the process, then we open it up, anybody in favor, against, from the public, wants to speak on this, and we close it down, and no later. Do you take staff report first?
Yeah. Staff report.
First, staff report first. Yeah. I'll read the statement, then we'll take staff report, then we open it up for public hearing, public comment, and then the commission will discuss and make its decision. So that's the process. Okay, so this is a statement. Order a public hearing procedure. Call for abstentions of or conflicts of interest. Any ex parte out of hearing contact with opponent or proponent should be mentioned in a statement made that either A, the contact has influenced the commissioner and therefore they must abstain from voting, or B, the contact did not influence the decision maker, there is not a conflict of interest, and the commissioner may participate in the hearing. 2, individuals testifying must state their full name and town of residence for the record, as well as signing on the sheet near the entrance. Call for the staff report summary. Okay, so now we will hold, Stephen, are you there? There he is.
Or was it?
Oh. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, Stephen, you want to give a staff report now?
Good morning. Let me get everything started here for you. So now let me start my video, but that's fine. You don't need to see my beautiful face. So before you this morning, we've got a request to accept dedication and the rename or the naming of a road within Bristol Estates Subdivision. The name of the road is Nicole Drive.
Stephen. Okay. I'm gonna just to go ahead.
There you are. Now we can see you.
We good?
Yes.
Property location is approximately 3/4 mile west of Irrigan. The applicants, Albert and Barbara Phillips. The applicants filed under Morrill County Road Naming and Rural Addressing Procedures Ordinance, which governs the establishing of a road name and the procedures for that in unincorporated Morrill County. And before you, there should be, the plat should be down there for you to sign, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. It's pretty straightforward. Again, the name of the road is Nicole Drive, and it's in the Bristol Estates Subdivision.
That's it? Yeah, it's not very complicated, is it?
It's not.
Okay.
Not very controversial.
Just the way we like them. Okay. We're hearing the staff report. Now we'll open it up for public comment. Is there anybody in the audience first that wants to speak in favor of this application? Anyone on Zoom that wants to speak in favor of this application? Okay, is there anybody in the room that wants to speak in opposition to the application or make a comment? You don't have to necessarily be against it. Okay. Anybody on Zoom that wants to, is opposed to this or just has a comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll close the public comment period and the commission will make its deliberation. Any what's the proposed motion on this? The computer shut down.
So, well, I guess when I look here at the motions, so we're approving the findings and also the order that's naming the street, is that correct? So my only comment on the order, the road name order, the reference is more on the county court instead of board of commissioners.
Yeah, so that was a copy, these are form templates that we use. There's a copy and paste issue. There's a revised copy that I believe Justin has that reflects the changes to Board of Commissioners versus the County Court.
That will be on the document that would be signed.
And that's what that's the document you'll be signing, not
no. But I think that's a fantastic point. A good point that Commissioner Wendell's brought up, because it is the packet that went out that had that language, but the proposed language now, with that consideration, would be the updating to changing the reference to Monroe County Court to the Monroe County Board of Commissioners.
So let me try this. I would move to approve the findings and approve order 2-24-1 to name Nicole Drive with the change of changing the county court in that order to Board of Commissioners.
Yep.
Is that sufficient, Justin?
I believe it is.
I will second that.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, thank you. Thanks,
Steve.
Thank
you. Yeah. So on the next one that's listed here, is there anything else that we have to do? Or just by accepting the findings, we can make the motion to accept a public roadway dedication, or is there...
Yeah, I think Tamara might, she can unmute maybe, Tamara, and then fill that aspect in, too.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. Right, this is, it's actually not a land use decision or a legislative action as you're accustomed to, but the history of the practice was, rather than a staff report, to present findings. That feels awkward to me, so those of you who have experience on the Planning Commission, that's probably what you're sensing also. Stephen prepared the findings, which I think was a good idea, to just show that request for that particular name was in compliance with our rural addressing ordinance. So technically, you do not need to adopt the findings. You do need to adopt the ordinance. And with Justin's counsel, you do not need two hearings because it's just a simple ordinance. Is that correct, Justin?
It is. That aspect is correct for the part one. There's also, I think the question from Commissioner Wendell was, it's part of the three, there's almost kind of listed as three actions here on this. The next would be accept the public roadway dedication, and the third, approve the final subdivision plot. Are there going to be different staff reports, or are we doing those separately, a separate motion now to accept the public roadway dedication, or it's just what's listed on the agenda, so I wasn't sure.
Or by
let me pull it back up.
Or by approving the subdivision plot, or are we accepting the public roadway, I guess?
Yeah, I think they've had the map on there, probably do.
So for clarification, you are not accepting the roadway dedication is to the public, but you would not be accepting it as a county-owned and maintained roadway.
Okay. So just to be clear, I think the question then also is that, is there do you need formal action from the Board of Commissioners for that aspect, the step two? Because we have three different items on here listed. We've done the first one, and that was the order that was approved with the change from the county court reference to Board of Commission. The second one is to accept the public roadway dedication, and whether you need a formal action on that or whether the approval of the name, which I think is a little bit different, is sufficient.
Yeah, I think we are looking for affirmative on all three of them, as that's in the agenda cover, but for to be extra careful, the public roadway dedication does not, it means that the board acknowledges that it's a public roadway dedication, not a roadway for county ownership and responsibility. So you accept it generally on behalf of the public.
Did you have a comment you want to make?
Yeah, the plat, which
could
I
was going to do. Could you just identify yourself? Oh. Come on up here. We can't hear you back there.
Yeah, that's okay. Ron McInnes, 79980 Prendeloop Road, Hermiston, I'm the record surveyor. The plat designates that the road is an acceptance. So by your signature, it's on the plat. Even though you may go through the motions here as the commission body.
So by approving the final subdivision plat, we are accepting the
yeah,
dedication.
The language is specific in the dedication. So it is for just the public roadway. It's not for a county road.
Yeah.
So one option for motion, the motion to approve the final subdivision plat, including the acceptance of the public roadway as a part of that plat.
So I'll move to approve the final subdivision plat for the Bristol subdivision, right? Isn't that what we're calling it?
Bristol Estate Subdivision?
Bristol Estate Subdivision. And as by approving the final subdivision plat, we are accepting the public roadway for the benefit of the public, and it will not be a county maintained roadway.
Okay. I'll second that.
We move to second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, motion carried. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next up is resolution number R-2023-2023-2, yearly election of the Board of Commissioners Chair. And I've got that. So it used to be it was rotating, and that was changed when the new commission came in. So now we elect a one-year a chairman every year at this time to serve for 1 year. So, what do you guys want?
So I move that we reappoint David as the chair of the Morrow County Board of Commissioners.
I will second that motion. Right.
You sure about that, huh? Okay. We move to second to appoint David Sykes as the chair for 2024. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Thanks, David.
All right, next up is the Budget Committee position. Kevin.
Justin, you
want do we have a set position for the vice chair? We do have a listed position.
Oh,
yeah. They might want that too.
Okay. We've got a list, what did you say?
So it'd be the same aspect if there would be a vote or a recommendation.
Just for the vice.
Just for vice chair.
Okay. Sorry, let's go back to that then.
So I'll make a motion that we appoint Jeff Winholz as the vice chair.
I'll second it. Move to second to appoint Jeff Winholz as the vice chair of the Board of Commissioners. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Thanks, Justin. Okay, Kevin, now I got you.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Kevin Ince, Finance Director. This agenda item is for the appointment of a Budget Committee member. We had appointed a person to serve on the Budget Committee for the remainder of, I believe it was Commissioner Winholz's term, and that was Mr. Gibb Evans, and that expired January 30th of 2023. And so we have, moving into budget season, we need to fill that vacancy. We advertised, posted this on the website, and advertised for interested individuals in the EO, or East Oregonian, and received one application from one individual, and that was, again, Mr. Gibb Evans. So just bringing this to the board for consideration and appointment.
Well, I'll make a motion to appoint Mr. Gibb Evans to the position number 3 on the Budget Committee for the term which shall conclude on June
30, 2026.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay. And budget officer appointment. And FY 2025, fiscal year 2025. Kevin, that's you too. Yeah.
So moving into, as I mentioned, the development process for fiscal year 2025. Oregon local budget law requires the board to appoint a budget officer. I included background information and the RS references surrounding that in the cover sheet. I guess I would look to the commissioners if you have any questions on that.
I would move to appoint Kevin Ince, the finance director, as the budget officer for the fiscal year 2025.
I'll second.
And moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
So I guess just a bit clarification, is this an annual deal or?
You know, we kind of dug into that a little bit last year, and it is not specified. It just, statutes require the appointment of a budget officer. It doesn't say whether that's an annual or once it's appointed, it's ongoing. And I think when we discussed this last year, around this time, the determination was, what's the harm in appointing it every year? So there are some local governments that do not. There's some that appoint it, you know, appointed by position, and you know, if you look at ordinance, and then there's others that appointed every year.
Because it does seem kind of to make most sense to me that maybe, as you phrased it, appointed by position, you know, that we name the finance director as the budget officer. Since.
So one thing we can do, and just to let you know, we are. Valerie and I are working to get the codification back up and getting that updated. As we go through that, we might be able to just put some verbiage in there to designate responsibilities, county administrator, budget officer, those kind of things. So we have that in our code, and it's established and taken care of there. That's one of the steps. They'll take all our code they have, regurgitate it, clean it up, and we'll have to pass that and have a public hearing. And one of the things I'd like to make sure is to include consideration of that. Generally, there's the code does say if it's designated or if it's appointed in the charter, we're not a charter county, and so we just reverted to the annual appointment, but we could clean that up if the commission would like to.
Just to me, it makes sense. I don't know what anyone else thinks, but
definitely. So.
Thank you.
Any further questions on that? Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
You're
welcome. Okay. Next up would be 6D, consideration to amend county administrative job description. Matt and Lindsay.
So Lindsay's assisted on this. I'm not sure if she's on
she's
Zoom.
She's in the room.
Oh, she's back in the corner? Good.
So put in the corner.
We had a long talk about Matilda, the movie, if you've ever seen the movie, not the musical. So we don't put Lindsay in the corner or the shrieker. The chokey. Commission, generally I wouldn't open up my own job description, but there are a couple items that as we've gone through and I've asked Lindsay to assist on this, that I felt were important just to modify, just to clean up the language a little bit. If you look at the attachment in there, on the job description on page 3 is the bulk of it, and there's 3 points that I would ask the commission to review and approve, hopefully. One of them is with our purchasing policy. We need to have someone be the purchasing agent, and that allows me to act as it, but the purchasing agent in our mind is going to be someone who's going out and taking care of these little details and such, and so this allows us to have me act as that or to designate someone as the purchasing agent. The next one is to allow me to be authorized to, officially authorized to negotiate, sell, purchase, and possible leasing of properties for the county without coming to the commission every time if we need to. If it's something that's approved in budget, I can I can go and talk to it, or someone comes and asks about a parcel of land, I can enter in negotiations with them and then bring it to you, whether through executive session or just through regular board action. And then the third one is to clean up a little bit of the budget officer. In my job description, it actually established in my job description that I was the budget officer. And I preferred the finance director to be it. But in ORS, it says that the finance director reports to the executive officer in the county or the county court or the board of commissioners. And since my executive authority only goes to the point that you designate, I've asked for that language to be set in there saying that I act as that executive officer to give the point-to-point finishing touches with the budget officer for the budget, so we can bring it before you and the budget committee to consider. So those are the three items that we're just asking to clean up and massage. If that's doable. Lindsay, is there anything I missed?
I think you covered it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Okay, you guys have any questions on this? Jeff?
Just, I guess, on the second bullet point about negotiating purchase, and I think that the language in here that says, and subject to approval by the Board of Commissioners, saying, no, I think that covers, you know, any concern I would have, is that, yeah, I think that we would empower that position to go out and do those things, but ultimately, the board would have the final say, whether it's to purchase or to sell something.
Definitely. And any lease agreements or purchasing contracts would come before the board before any final action were done.
Yeah. I, like I said, I don't have a problem with you, that position going out and doing negotiations and everything. It's just that it is still ultimately, I guess, our responsibility to approve it.
Yeah.
That's the way I read it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any questions.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve the job description change. Amendment.
I'd move for approval of the amended job description for the county administrator.
I'll second.
Because we would have had two budget officers if we didn't pass it.
Yes. In fact, we probably should have put this one first. But I let him to take care of his issues, and then we'll clean it up.
That was a little window there where you got two. Okay, let's move to second at all. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, next up is our contract, 6E, contract for county council services. Matt, it's back to you.
Yes, this is, as was discussed at the last meeting, we are transitioning with our county council contract as we went back and extended the offer to our deputy district attorney. He's expressed interest and real interest in serving as county council. We've in talking with the commission, we understand that we'd like to do a review, and within the next 6 months we're planning to do that. But in the meantime, we'd ask that we continue under the county council contract that was, and just changing the partner on it to be Gregory Gobel, along with Justin Nelson, to serve as county council for as we go through that review. The fiscal impact, no increase on it. What we have been paying Zach and such, and so it's just a standard budgeted item.
Okay. Justin, you've got to get all the input.
We talked about quite a bit before and stuff, so yeah, this is the same. Matt asked for the other ones, just the same type of language, same costs, been probably for 10 years or more now, the thing, and just, yeah, keeping the same.
Is that a hint?
Yeah, I know. No hint. No. We're just like, we don't want to cause any issues. Is it a third issue? You know, it's like trying not to cause. I'm trying to make the budget officer's life as easy as possible. That's my goal, you know?
Any one of them.
I try all of them.
We should talk about that.
Okay. Any further questions of Matt on the contract? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve it.
So I'll move to approve the county council contract with Justin Nelson and Gregory Gobel.
I'll second.
We can second. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, Commissioner, on both items.
Thank you. Appreciate your work on that, both of you. Okay. Next up is a road use agreement with the new Wheat Ridge East Wind, and that's Eric's up.
So, David?
Yeah.
So, since Wheat Ridge is a customer of Intel Electric, I'm on the board of directors, as you know. It's not going to benefit me in any way personally. I'm going to recuse myself because there's complaints outstanding on this. So
okay.
I will recuse myself from any discussion or decision on this.
Let the record show that. And Eric.
Okay, good morning. Eric Owens, Public Works Director from Monroe County. And just so you all know, Ryan Hill with Wheat Ridge East is here. He's the Senior Project Manager. If you have any questions for him. Wheat Ridge East Wind and Morrow County would like to enter into a road use agreement for their proposed wind energy project in the Butter Creek area. For the county, this agreement will help maintain the safety of the motoring public and road integrity during construction. As described in the terms and conditions, Wheat Ridge East Wind, the supply trucks going out to the project areas, they'll be responsible for following approved haul routes. Wheat Ridge East Wind will be responsible for any road damage that their equipment causes and will keep haul routes maintained to our county standard to ensure minimal inconvenience to the motoring public. In the terms and conditions also, I wanted to note that I, along with Ryan or one of someone from their company, will be doing a road survey prior to any work to log road conditions as they are now, and then we'll do the same thing after the project is done, and then any repairs that need to be made, we'll negotiate that at that time. This is not much different than the other road use agreements we've done, but if there's any questions for Ryan or I?
I got one, just out of curiosity. Now, when you start construction, I can't remember how it is. Do you work with the contractor, or do you work with NextEra mostly? From week to week, day to day interactions, nothing big. Just, they have a question and you have a concern. Do you work directly with
just the contractor, the ones that are moving the equipment and or cranes across, the county. That's usually who I deal with historically. If there are any issues, I would contact the developer.
Okay.
If I had issues beyond that, I could negotiate with the contractor.
Right.
Yeah.
Any questions? Any other questions of Eric on the road contract with Wheat Ridge? Joe? Oh.
I was trying to set the poor guy up. It was a test.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm
gotcha.
With the announcement.
Okay. The only thing I might want to add to just real quick is that definitely one of these things I reviewed it also, worked with Eric quite a bit on him. And it's one of those things I think with time, we kind of get better and better each time, it seems like. We learn each time in different companies too. At first, I think from the history, you might work with one that worked out perfect, and then we realize you work out with another one that doesn't work out, so that changes some of the conditions. And so, for a small county, we've dealt with this quite a bit, and probably now we have these kind of samples we can provide other counties that have to deal with this, because we have done it in quite a few different projects now.
Yes, I agree with that. That's the statement. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for your help, Justin, too.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the road use agreement between Morrow County and Wheat Ridge East Wind.
I'll second. Okay. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Yeah, the reason that, because Roy's usually over there.
Yeah.
That's my reason. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm losing it.
Yes,
I don't find you.
New year, new
changes.
That's right.
Next up is...